gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. Friday's with Fuglesang, everybody. John Fuglesang joins us live all 3 hours.
Good morning. Yeah.
His day is starting well. It's not going to end well. I'm cooking for him and his wife tonight. So
that's right.
Ooh.
I'm going to do the entire show as Charlie Wrangle today.
Oh, no.
And then when Jim gets in, we'll have dueling wrangles.
Somebody's got to. StephanieMiller.com, the website. A big, big show. Representative Donna Christensen coming up. And economist Christian Weller. The unemployment rate remains the same at 9.7. We're going to talk to him about all of that. But first, one of our very personal favorites, Representative Joe Sestak of the great state of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Congressman. Are you there?
Hold on. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Something has gone cattywampus in the many wires that connect the Stephanie Miller Show. But we will be getting a... He has a big announcement today.
Does he
Congressman
know?
Sestak does. Yes.
It must be if you're exploiting the word cattywouncers.
Cattywampus.
Cattywampus.
Something has gone technically
yeah,
cattywampus.
Stephanie doesn't deploy that word too often.
All right. How are we doing, Chris? No? All right.
No.
Congressman Sestak is one of the congressmen who sent a letter to Harry Reid on the public option and reconciliation. So a fine American, a brave American, and he's getting the endorsement of the National Organization of Women today.
As he well should.
For his Senate campaign. Yeah, interesting. They're not big fans, perhaps, of Arlen Specter at the Anita Hill hearings, maybe.
Well, I have to say, considering that the president has said he's going to be endorsing Arlen Specter, I'm really proud of Sestak for going for it. I'm very excited to see what he can do.
Absolutely. Is he there? Good morning, Congressman Sestak.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. He's trapped in a beer can somewhere.
Oh. I hear him in the distance.
I have no idea what's happening technically.
This is his first time doing public access, right?
Yes, that's what it sounds
like. Well, I'm very excited about his candidacy. I think that it's great to have a progressive, and I'm a big fan of anyone who supports the public option in public.
Well, thank you, and that's why the word "public" is in the phrase. That's what I've been saying over and over again. I think that last thing Democrats need is. This is really, this whole show is just, it's off to a good start. I think this is going directly to the Smithsonian today.
I think it's terrific. They're already cleaning off a desk at the Library of Congress.
Yes.
Just for this show.
Anyway, I was saying the last thing we need is more timidity on our side, in my opinion, because people go,
but I don't know if you can hear me.
There we are. There he is, Representative Joe Sestak, a fighter.
Hi, I'm awful sorry. Somehow, Stephanie, I could hear you each time we called in, but I'm sorry. Maybe I pressed the mute by mistake.
That's all right. Our bad. Congressman, I guess you're picking up in mid-conversation here, but this is what I'm afraid of, is people have been saying, some of these, in conservative districts, blah, blah, blah. I think Americans want Democrats that are going to fight for the things that they want, like health care reform, don't you?
Oh, without a doubt. Look, this is gut check time for the Democrats. If we think we are going to have to back off our policies, absolutely not. What we might want to back away from, no, what we must back away from is the politics. Look, I will argue that we started going off the track when we thought we could do a political calculation for a 60th vote and get Arlen Specter on our side, and that's where we got off the track. Where did it get us? It got us to where Ben Nelson said, "You got my vote," as an extortion method if you give me something for my special interest. No, yeah. We grabbed the White House through audacity, and that's what we need, is the courage, and not only that, the ability to come back into your district or your state and explain why these policies help working families. Courage is what we need now.
Amen.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is, we keep saying that it's such a puzzlement. I want you to tell me about this letter. You sent a letter to Harry Reid about the public option and reconciliation. We keep talking about polls, and, pretty much any poll you look at, Americans want the public option.
Without a question, every awesome poll, like the Newsweek poll recently and others, show that once you walk through somebody and explain the bill to them, the polls, if they were against the public option and other parts of the health care bill, reverse. And the issue here is good leadership, and Stephanie, you know that from your military days, means that the captain of the ship doesn't sit in his sea cap and think he has a mandate and just vote for something. My gosh, the captain goes around and sits down and explains to the crew, answers their questions about where he is taking that ship or she is taking that ship. And that's what wasn't done. We have to get this health care bill, and it has to be. It must be with something that breaks the monopoly of the insurance companies that are exempt from antitrust law, because otherwise they will continue to dictate the prices.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Pennsylvania, we've had an increase of over 100% in the last 8 years of premiums. And this year alone, many people have walked in my office over 50% because health care companies are exempt from antitrust. Where's the courage to stand up to the special interest? This is about working families.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, that's something we have in common with the Tea Party people, you know, is trying to, I mean, look, 80% of us think this Supreme Court decision is ridiculous, and I think that, you know, I wouldn't want to be Blanche Lincoln or Arlen Specter this go-round. I don't think it's about, you know, electing Republicans or more moderate people. I think it's, like you say, it's about electing people with spine that are going to get done what the American people put in a Democratic majority for.
Spot on. When that Massachusetts election was held, what Massachusetts were saying, who have almost the same identical health care plan we have in the House side of the Congress, were saying really, no, no, no. Pox on both your houses down there. We voted for a change where politics wasn't triumphing over principle or policies. What they want is, without a question, firm leadership, one that explains what needs to be done and has the courage, as you said, of their conviction. When do we do best? When the president speaks. Well, you know what? He needs some pretty strong allies down there that are willing from the beginning to shape the health care and other bills. We would have had a different outcome if Senator Ed Kennedy had been down there. He would have done a principled compromise, not a compromise of principles. And that's the type of leadership that has to change because, my gosh, the lack of trust in politicians is understandable. What we want is trust in public servants, and that takes leadership, and it doesn't take a change in policies that we should be pursuing.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, you know, you keep hearing, God, we've been watching the sausage get made for a year, but, you know, you're hearing a lot about what Nancy Pelosi is juggling right now. Please tell me we're going to get this done. We're going to get health care done. What do you think?
Yes, we will. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tight. This issue on choice is going to be a key proponent of it. We'll get it through, but it should end, but it'll be less than we might have had if we had had a better type of taking advantage of the opportunity we had to lead as Democrats. But we'll get it through, and that's important. Then we'll improve it as we go down the road. But I honestly do believe that there's anything we need to learn from this is, you know, talk with your constituents. They may not agree with you. They don't expect always to agree with you.
Yep.
But they expect
well,
you
I mean,
to
I think there's a reason.
Talk.
I think there's a reason, Congressman, that there's an anti-incumbent fervor more necessarily than, you know, anti-Democrat or anti-Republican. So, you know, I think it's an exciting time for you. And the National Organization of Women is endorsing you today in the Senate race, correct?
They are. The National Organization of Women, which I'm so proud of. And why? Because what's their goal? Equality, period. In their case, equality for all women. And more women are employed today than men. When you're talking about working families, 51% of our workers are women. And so all of a sudden you sit back and you're saying to yourself, how can we make a more productive workplace by having flex rules for them to take account of some of the challenges they have in balancing their lives at home with helping to be a more productive member of the common enterprise? So I'm pretty proud of that. But your point is so well taken. Arlen Specter is an albatross around the necks of the Democratic Party ticket in Pennsylvania. He ran away from Pat Toomey, who is the presumptive Republican nominee. And now he's running away from me in debates. As a matter of fact, only 2-1 in Philadelphia on a Saturday night during the Phillies-Mets game.
Yep.
My issue is this. If we believe in principle and we believe in the policies that Democrats know are focused on the working family, we've got to have a change in the leadership of the Senate. And by that, it doesn't mean just read. It means those who really believe that you're willing to lose your job over what people tell you they want. And I honestly believe, Stephanie, this is the most strategic moment since the Great Depression for our nation where we go. Courage of one's conviction, profiles in courage, and that's really what we need.
That's right. Congressman, we always appreciate your time. And by the way, the Now endorsement does not surprise you. It's something I could have told you, and that is that chicks dig you.
Yes.
Yes, you fight for our rights, but it's the whole man in uniform thing. And listen, you know I'm a huge fan, so I appreciate it. I appreciate your time as always. Good luck, sir.
Thank you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.
You too. There he goes. Congressman Joe Sestak from the great state of Pennsylvania.
I hope he asks Arlen Specter about the magic bullet theory.
Yeah.
It's been 46 years, and no one's called Arlen Specter out on the magic bullet theory. The guy's still in office. He's the guy who invented the magic bullet theory. I know he's a Democrat now, but logic is logic, folks.
By the way, Chris, he still obviously thinks I'm Randy Rhodes, but I should correct him one of these times that I didn't serve in the military. Randy Rhodes did.
I just got an instant message from my friend Jeff, and he said, when are you going to correct him on that?
It's just he's always on to some other good point.
I know.
I just take credit for military service that I didn't do. Thank you.
Well, Bush did. Why shouldn't you?
Thank you for our service to our country, Stevie. Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Congressman. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You know, he did.
I think by the time we're done, we should just say, well, you know, after my fourth Purple Heart, Congressman, I.
Yeah, right.
The first three are the hardest. He did use an expression where he said about the bill. He said, fix it down the road. And I think that's the big issue for a lot of progressives who care about health care reform right now. A lot of us feel like, okay, the current bill isn't reform. It's improvements. It's not reforming the system. And he used the expression, fix it down the road. And I'm hoping, as a lot of people are, that Obama's plan is to just get this thing passed and then put a public option down the road.
Well, I got to tell you, John, that's the concern I'm getting most from at least our listeners is a mandate without a public option.
Yeah.
So, a
progressive majority would have fought for single-payer Medicare for all, and public option would have been their compromise. Instead, they fought for the compromise, and now they've compromised on their compromise.
Exactly. All right. You know what? When we come back, because you're our religious expert, because
yes.
I just made you that.
That's me. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
I have to tell you what the American Family Association wants them to do with the killer whale.
Shamu,
I'll tell you about that. Yes. Not Shamu, the other one.
Right.
Okay.
Bad one.
In the meantime, Chris, did you put up the new pictures of Mama and her dogs in Central Park?
I most certainly did.
Oh, check it out at stephaniemiller.com. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. You know, I feel naked without my John Fugelsang jingle. I think I've mentioned that John Fugelsang is here. It's Friday.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Fugelsang.
That's right, baby.
With John.
I sure am glad that $250 I spent on Matusink going to waste, Miss Miller. That's right. What do you mean you see three of them?
All right, settle down. We have an important congressperson on the line. We'll get into all that in a moment. Representative Donna Christensen of the Virgin Islands. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. Good morning, Stephanie and everyone else.
Thank you so much. You know, you were an emergency room doctor, correct?
Yes. That's where I started out after I finished my residency.
There you go. See, and you don't have to mention it every 2 minutes like Tom Coburn does on the Republican side.
No.
So, Congresswoman, you've been obviously really involved in the whole health care debate, given your expertise and the fact that, you know, you're fighting for really meaningful health care reform, knowing what that means from someone coming in from inside the medical system. Where are you optimistic at this point? I get optimistic and then I get nervous. Where are you at today?
On one side, I'm optimistic that we will get something done. We will pass a health care reform bill. On the other hand, though, it's not going to be what we had all hoped it would be. Several of us, the minority caucuses, African American, Asian, Hispanic, and the Progressive Caucus met with the president yesterday, and even as late as yesterday, we're still talking about everything that we have always asked for, from the ability for states to do single payer to public option, to the issues with the territories, health disparities, trying to work to the very end to ensure that some of those issues at least get addressed.
Right. Is there any reasonable hope of a public option?
I'll tell you that the fight is not going to be over even if we don't get it into this bill.
This time.
I know our chairwoman, Lynn Woolsey, is prepared to introduce standalone legislation to continue to work toward that end. For getting it into this bill, it really looks bleak because the Senate can't muster the number of votes for it. some even on our side in the House, some people voted for it in the past who might not vote for it again. But so it really is on serious life support right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I have to tell you, I just mentioned that before the break, that our listeners, I think their biggest concern is a mandate without a public option and what that's going to mean for them.
Well, you know, I think that the way that we're going to end up structuring the exchange should give them some comfort, because the insurance companies in the exchange, where all of the uninsured and eventually the small businesses and so forth will go for insurance, will be very well regulated by the secretary. And there will be the full basic level of services that will be required for every insurance to provide. And there will be regulations that will keep their premiums from going up as they are going up now. We had a hearing the other day with WellPoint, with Anthem Blue Cross, where they were trying to increase the rates in California by 39%.
Mm-hmm.
That's just unsustainable. So
yeah, well,
I think they can take some comfort from the fact that we're holding fast to a national exchange, whatever it may be called. It may be called multi-state, but it'll be a national exchange, that even if the states have exchanges, which they have always been allowed to do, even in the House bill, that they will be, they'll have to be certified by the secretary, and they will be regulated just like the ones in the exchange. So.
Yep. Congressman Donna Christensen of the Virgin Islands, thank you so much. We really appreciate your expertise on this, and that you just keep fighting. Just keep fighting to
the
end for us.
You're welcome, and we're glad for your support, and we ask you to keep fighting with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Representative Donna Christensen of the great Virgin Islands.
That's right.
Oh, I forgot to ask her if she can give me a deal on the resort somewhere in Virgin Gorda. Oh, well. 29 minutes after the hour, what the American Family Association wants us to do to the killer whale at SeaWorld. Seriously. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A woman whose lack of respect for society borders...
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are knee-deep in Fridays with Fugelsang. John Fugelsang,
right.
Live all 3 hours with us here in the New York studio. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. We have we still have a big show. Economist Christian Weller coming up. The unemployment rate didn't go up, which is, of course, bad news for Republicans.
That's right.
When you're in the business of rooting against America and the president, you know.
It's going to be harder for Michael Steele to drive away donors. Yes.
Well, no.
That's the thing. You worried Democrats about 2010. The Democratic Party has raised almost twice what the Republican Party has raised since January of last year. Michael Steele, not good at raising money for these people.
I know. Why do we have such a well-oiled flinch, reflex on the Democratic side? We're just like, we're all going to lose. Just buck up, everybody.
Yeah, well, we're so used to losing, and we're so used to hiring losers. And I don't know why I'm saying we, because I'm not actually a Democrat. But the Democratic Party is in such better shape than people realize. Look, the right-wing media hated John McCain, and he still got the nomination. The right-wing media did everything they could to destroy Obama in 2008, and he still won. They're not as powerful as they want you to think they are, folks. You are the power, you are the people, and you're much more sexually attractive than those who watch Fox.
That's right. Thank you very much. We've got the power.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got the power.
We've got the power.
And all you need to attract Republicans are tchotchkes, apparently. According to their
they have such
menu.
An ego that apparently all they need is a tchotchke.
As long as it doesn't have the word holiday on it.
They're easily distracted by shiny things.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Like.
All right. Chris, could you take your organ out for me, please?
Which one? I have four.
All right. It's troubling.
Just slap it on the table.
Yes, thank you.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. This is a Christian rights organization's answer to, what's the whale's name? Tillicum.
Yes.
Tilly, they called it.
Tilly.
Tilly, the killy whale.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
The killer whale that dared kill.
Yes. This from Crooks and Liars. Stone him. Seriously.
Stone him?
The American... The American Family Association is urging that Tilly, the killer whale that killed a trainer at SeaWorld Orlando, be put down, preferably by stoning.
Mm-hmm.
How do you...
The group is slamming SeaWorld for not listening to scripture in how to deal with the animal. Says the ancient civil code of Israel, when an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall be stoned.
Mm-hmm.
And its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner shall be liable.
Yes.
Crooks and Liars saying, setting aside the strange analogy to an ox, just how heavy would the stones have to be that could kill an orca?
Yeah.
Should SeaWorld sell tickets to this?
Very small tank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's hard to hit. They move fast.
Yeah. That might take some time.
Richard Harris, I mean, it took him 2 hours to do it in that movie. You know, it's hilarious. First off, these are the people who can't tell an ox from an orca. And we love that. I think this is one of those fundamentalist fringe groups trying to get some notice by being just so silly that we talk about it. However, it does bear mention.
No, they're serious. They actually, because, John, they go one step further. Because apparently SeaWorld didn't kill Tilly the first time, someone was killed. Now they should be killed.
Yes, the person who.
So we need to stone Tilly and then kill everyone apparently that works at SeaWorld.
That's what the Bible says, and this is all in our second favorite book of the Old Testament, Exodus. Homophobes unite. If your ox kills someone, you have to kill the ox, and if you don't, and the ox kills someone else, we have to kill the ox and you.
Yes, it says Scripture soberly warns: if one of your animals kills a second time because you didn't kill it after it claimed its first human victim, this time you die.
Yeah,
right along with your
animal. I looked at some pictures of the whale. I couldn't see horns or four legs.
No.
Or a tail. But so they're treating an orca like an ox. And these are the people who also don't care for the gays, because the same book in the Bible says that's wrong.
But technically, would you have to kill, Chris, everyone at SeaWorld, or just the person in charge of SeaWorld?
Probably the CEO of SeaWorld.
The owner of the animal.
Oh.
Because, see, here's the worst thing you
can do. That would be the entire board of directors, I think.
Wow.
This is an animal
and the
in captivity. Yeah, when an animal is taken out of the wild and put in captivity and does what it does naturally, it has to be punished. Killer whales aren't supposed to be around people. We're not supposed to keep. It's like tigers. They're not.
That's why they helpfully
named
themselves killer whales. Just as a little tip to us.
Yeah, they're not called cuddly whales. They're killer whales. Killing's what they do. And let's not punish it for living up to its name. They're not supposed to be kept as pets.
Yeah, I know. One trainer said, "Oh, you know, it might have been play behavior." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, maybe we really shouldn't be playing with killer whales. Maybe their kind of play is different than our kind of play. Maybe there is no safe word for us. You know what I mean? Maybe it's
Ms. Rahi.
Ms. Rahi doesn't work with killer whales,
okay.
Apparently.
Yeah, my safe word is shark." these, you know, if you believe the part of the Bible that says this, by the way, that says you've got to kill the whale and its owner, then you've also got to kill people who eat shellfish. So that's where you get into the people who go to SeaWorld.
Right.
And you've got to kill people who work on the Sabbath. So
yeah, I'm not an animal expert of any kind, John, but the Siegfried and Roy thing, just, I don't know, some sort of weird common sense tells me, you know, I don't think tigers like being tapped on the nose with sticks and stuff. I think it pisses them off.
Yes, it would seem to be God or nature balancing the scales just a bit. Siegfried and Roy are very nice men. I've met them. They're very charming and lovely. But tigers aren't supposed to be around people at all.
Yeah.
In zoos or whatnot. They're not meant to do that. And we have this really funny thing we do of punishing animals for acting naturally.
Yeah.
And people.
Yeah.
They need to be like us and kill for fun.
Mm.
You know, we're the only species that kill. Humans and cats are the only species that kill other species for fun.
Right. Well, now, you bring up the, seriously, that was the most, I had to get to that story first today because that's the most seriously crazy story
I've
heard.
Fantastic. And by the way.
About the religious right in our country, seriously, they're crazy. They're serious.
Yep.
We're going to stone a whale to death?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Well, but see, this is this fringe guy trying to get some attention for his group. I guarantee, have you heard of the AFA before?
Well, you know,
this?
And the other thing, may I just say, I think the whale might be clever enough to, you know, go underwater. Then there'd just be a lot of splashes.
Well,
oh,
then
damn it.
What's
going to
happen
splash.
Is they're going to throw so many stones into the water that the water level will rise and the whale will just have no water and die from air. If you really believe the part of the Bible that says this, you've also got to believe the part of the Bible that says that adultery is punishable by stoning, and the same part of the Bible says that divorce and remarriage is adultery. So what this means is, if you really believe in stoning a whale to death because it killed someone, then you also have to believe in killing Rush Limbaugh four times. And that's wrong. You shouldn't kill Rush Limbaugh four times.
All right.
Also, these people either need to take the Bible literally or not. You know, either you can't stone it. You know, if you take the Bible literally, you're not going to be stoning this whale because it's not an ox.
Do we have to stone the people that own SeaWorld, or can we kill them in another fashion?
I think you have to stone them, too.
That's the beautiful thing about...
That's a lot of stones.
That's the beautiful thing about Leviticus and Exodus is everybody must get stoned. We're all going to go, folks. We're all sinners. Unless you're an Orthodox, unless you're an Orthodox Jew,
all right,
you
got to
die.
So anyway, you were saying there's a lot of, they obviously use the Bible a lot in the gay bashing. Here's my other favorite right wing story. This Missouri Republican, have you heard this guy, Missouri State Senator Gary Nadler? He says allowing gays to serve openly increases the military's, would increase their casualty rate. He argued that repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell would offend, well, first of all, he's the one member, Chris, that said it would offend the terrorists.
Oh,
he would hate to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, now they're really going to
try and like
kill
us.
They don't
like the gays.
Looking out for the terrorist feelings. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would be a cultural affront to the Muslims in whose country we are operating.
And most Missouri Republicans are very sensitive to Muslim custom.
Yes.
They really don't want to upset them.
It's well known.
Yeah.
Nadler suggested that the UK, that Britain, has a higher casualty rate than other allies because it allows gay men and women to serve openly.
You know what I want to hear these guys do? I want to hear these guys criticize the Israeli army.
Yeah.
I just want to hear them criticize Mossad. You know, criticize the Israeli army or intelligence agencies for allowing gays to serve openly.
Yes. Yeah. So he's also, by the way, expressed concern with women serving, because I guess that obviously also would offend
of course,
the terrorists.
They get infections, as Newt Gingrich
saying
said.
That the policy, quote, might not be advancing the goals of the U.S. military.
Yeah, we got a lot of people who read the Bible and really thought it peaked with a golden calf. But the problem is these fundamentalists, they read parts of the Old Testament and Book of Revelations, and they kind of skip the Jesus thing because it's a lot easier to worship him than follow his actual teachings, which would cause us all to be ragingly heroic lefties.
Oh, by the way, here's a little fun fact for Mr. Nadler, Senator whatever Nadler. Every NATO member except U.S. and the U.S. and Turkey allow gay men and women to serve openly.
Well, us and Turkey.
I'm not sure how he gets that whole casualty rate thing that's higher. I'm glad we're on the side of Turkey in terms of just us and Turkey in terms of human rights. That's where we fall on the.
It's the
only NATO members that don't allow.
I think we're competing with the Taliban. Actually, I think we're trying to outcrazy the Taliban.
Yeah.
They hate dogs. We hate orcas.
yeah. By the way, so you remember cranky John McCain at the Don't Ask, Don't Tell hearing?
Yeah, I'm reminded of that every day.
He's like, hey, Gates, isn't it grumpy?
The older me would hate the older me.
He told Mullen and Defense Secretary Robert Gates, well, I hope you'll pay attention to the views of over 1,000 retired and flag general officers when considering the overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Frank Gaffney, he's the right-wing whack that he works at the Conservative Center for,
whatever.
He also cited this letter in the Washington Times op-ed. You know how they do that, Chris? Like, they just whip something out that you go, oh, what's that? Oh, well, there's
before
this
you have a chance to cross-check this reference, show you something in print.
Let me give you the fun facts of the letter to which Grampy referred.
Okay.
The average age of the officers is 74. The oldest living signer is 98, and several signers died in the time since the document was published. A small fraction of these officers have even served in the military during the Don't Ask, Don't Tell period, much less in the 21st century military. They're mostly Peloponnesian War veterans. Hey, gay, what? So it's hard to believe they know, quote, how accepting and tolerant 18 and 21-year-olds are today that are currently serving.
Right.
Multiple generals on the letter said they never agreed to sign the letter in the first place. At least seven officers that are on this letter were involved in scandals tarnishing their career. One of them, General Carl Mundy, for instance, gained negative publicity when he told 60 Minutes that, quote, minority officers do not shoot as well as the non-minorities.
Mm. What a man. You know, there already are gay people serving in the military.
What?
And I'm wondering why McCain doesn't support those troops.
Because those are not the correct ones.
I love that Cindy McCain came out supporting gay marriage, and John McCain came out opposed to his own marriage. So it's a beautiful
45,
thing.
45 minutes after the hour, right back with more Fridays with Fuglesang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like it? I love it! It is fabulous!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, it is going to be a crisis of epic culinary proportions for John Fuglesang and his wife tonight.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I've just been doing during that whole break? Yeah. I've been trying to make oatmeal, and I'm completely incapable of... It bubbles over no matter... I tried a minute, I've made a complete mess, and I still have no oatmeal.
Oh, no. Do you have a hot water dispenser in the kitchen there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why don't you use a hot water dispenser instead of...
It doesn't work. You need to cook this kind of oatmeal. Okay, Kyle and Gary...
Well, then don't bring steel-cut oatmeal to work.
Kyle and Gary, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kyle.
Yeah, I think your guest is mischaracterizing Jesus as being a lefty.
Oh.
Really? You think he's a Republican?
No, I think that's just that he's using political terms to describe him. I would agree.
Well,
know.
He would, technically, he'd be considered a socialist today, don't you think?
No, I don't. I think on an individual basis, he calls us to care for one another. So if that's how you're defining socialism or lefty, then I'll say, okay, yeah, he was. But he did not call...
Do you think Jesus would be for health care reform? That would be considered caring for each other, wouldn't it?
He wouldn't call on the government to do it. See, he calls on the individual to take care of each other.
I don't think Jesus ever asked for a copay for a leper or anything.
He never asked for the government to do it. Yeah, he calls on us as believers and followers to do it. See, and if you put the government in the place of the individual, you're robbing the giver of the
I see. That's like what Republican was that, Chris, that said if you get into a medical trouble, you should just get your neighbors to help out. Yeah,
because you can always count on your neighbors.
Yeah, for who can't come up with the money for a kidney transplant?
Well, isn't relying on the government really relying on your neighbors? Isn't that what that is?
Okay, do you think, especially in this economy, most people are capable of scraping the money together to help a neighbor? Don't you think it would be better if we all had health care?
Anyway, we're digressing on the point here. The point is, the guess is that Jesus Christ was a socialist or a lefty. And I'm saying Jesus Christ never called on the government to do anything. He called on the individuals to do things.
Guess what, pal? Here's the difference. Jesus didn't live in a representative democracy. Jesus lived under European occupation, okay? We are in America where we are the government. So when Jesus commands you to help the needy, guess what? We are luckier than Jesus' people were because we are allowed to pick the leaders who reflect our Christian values. You see the difference?
No.
We live in a democracy. Christians in a democracy get to pick leaders who will follow the teachings of Christ. So if you pick leaders who just reward the wealthy, give tax breaks to the upper 5%, and kick the poor to the curb, you are not following the teachings of the Christ you claim to follow.
It seems like the Christian...
You're deferring your responsibility as an individual to others, to the government.
Not one bit. You're fulfilling your responsibility. You've got to do it in your private life and your public life, my friend. You've got to support the poor when you go down the street and when you go into the voting box, okay? You have to pick the leaders who reflect the values of the Christ you claim to believe
in. Kyle, how do you square that, you know, a lot of the Republicans today, I mean, who profess to be religious right or whatever, they seem to want to use religion mostly to, to gay bash. When, I mean, how do you square that with Jesus never said one word about homosexuality? How is that?
Define bashing.
Well, look, Jesus had no
problem. They want to make sure they can't serve in the military. They want to make sure they don't have the same rights as other people do.
Jesus had no problem with people in same-sex relationships. He would have brought it up. He said, love everyone, especially the ones who despise you.
Right.
Whatever you do to the least of my people, you do unto me. So if you're hating on gay people, you're hating on Christ, my friend. That's all Old Testament stuff in St. Paul.
Of course it's not okay to hate anybody.
Right on. But when you're denying, you can't claim that you're denying rights and equality to gay people because of Christian values, because Christ never talked about it. You're denying equality to gay people because you don't like them.
But just denying somebody, again, we get back to government. Saying that gay people shouldn't have government-sanctioned marriage is not the same thing as saying you hate them.
Marriage equality. Why are you against gays having the same rights that heterosexuals do? Why are you against gays serving openly in the military? Why can't gays adopt children?
Well,
it's got nothing to do with Christian values. It's got to do with your unchristian beliefs.
No, my opposition to gay marriage would be not necessarily religious, but, I mean, logistically... You have to be able to define what makes a marriage, because if it's just who you're having sex with, then that opens up a continuum.
Oh, here we go. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, that wouldn't be marriage. Marriage is about who you're not having sex with anymore.
Right. Kyle, thank you for calling. It's a logistical nightmare, the whole thing you can imagine.
These people fail to realize that there's more to a gay relationship or any relationship than just sex.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you know.
No wonder I'm not
you're
in a relationship
deeper than
of any kind.
You're deeper than me, my friend.
How the hell would I have any idea what a relationship is?
I just want to say the people who are opposed to same-sex marriage are usually trapped in lame-sex marriage.
Hey. Pat in Toledo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say regarding this this incident with the air traffic controller with the child in the tower, I know it's disturbing, but it could have been far worse. I mean, somebody could have heard Sarah Palin's voice over that.
You'll betcha, I runway I-9er.
I can see Oblivion from my house.
Also, too, in addition, you could do I-8. Okay, Jeff in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Jeff in Atlanta going once, going twice. All right, then. All right.
I needed you, Jeff, and you weren't there.
Exactly. What happened to Jeff? Mm. All right. So we were talking about the health care and where we're at with it. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary, talking about what the president's going to be doing.
The president will do much of what I just did, which is describe the benefits of the legislation, why it would help constituents, their constituents, whether they're in Ohio, like this woman, or somewhere else in this country, why this is important for our country and why it's important for them. And again, reiterating why, what happens if we walk away from reform? What happens if we, everyone just takes their toys and goes home?
Well, I'm glad the president's going to start describing the benefits of the legislation, Gibbs. It's about time he began doing that. You can't reason with these
people. I don't
know.
I still stick with the, someone said the other day, Chris, right? The president may not just be playing chess. He's playing some weird 3D avatar chess that the rest of us can't even, we don't even know what level of chess he's playing. But I think it's still going to get done. I do.
That's faith-based government, if you ask me. I mean, well, I'm hoping that, he's got a big strategy and a master plan to slip a public option back in. But look, the fact is Obama's got to stand up and call out the people opposed to health care for being un-American, unpatriotic, uncapitalist, and un-Christian. He's got to take the fight to them. Stop defending your plan and start attacking the people who want to deny care to your fellow citizens. Up to now, I love Obama, but he keeps trying to use reason and logic.
Americans, I love this last caller. That's a good plan, isn't it, for healthcare?
Right.
You should just, the government shouldn't be involved in, you know, anything. You should just, take care of it yourself. What?
Well, welcome to President Ron Paul land. But,
right.
You know, Obama's trying to use reason and logic. These people don't want reason and logic. They want cholesterol and free ringtones, okay? You got to shake them, Obama. Shake them up and bring the fight to them already.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more on the latest on the healthcare debate. Fridays with John Fugelsang continues.
And Christian Weller, economist Christian Weller.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
Robo-wonk.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Go check out the, gallery section? Oh, some beautiful new photos of mommy's dogs in Central Park.
Yes, just go to the Steph's Dogs album of the gallery section.
Some guy was just out there, a photographer was out shooting, and he took some pictures of mama and the doggies, Mags and Fred.
Her dogs are so big, those photos crashed her hard drive.
Yes.
Thank God I have Carbonite.
Thank God she has Carbonite.
I use Carbonite to back up my computer. Gives me peace of mind. Don't risk losing your irreplaceable files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
And don't forget, that's how Darth Vader backed up Han Solo and he came out fine in Return of the Jedi.
Thank you very much. Kathy in Madison wants to give me some cooking tips on how to make oatmeal in the microwave. Hello, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. It's really easy. I make steel-cut oatmeal. We're really healthy here in Madison. I make steel-cut oatmeal in the microwave all the time. First of all, you need a giant Pyrex measuring cup.
The problem. Mm-hmm. All I have here at the office are little are cups, like just a regular coffee cup.
You're
so I'm trying to make it in a coffee cup.
Yeah.
That's never going to work. You need to make one serving. You need a 4-cup microwave measuring cup.
Oh, dear God.
And you cook it on low power for 9 minutes.
That explains it. I actually, sitting in front of me, Kathy, it's Irish style oatmeal, so I think it's
there's
extra whiskey in it.
Not even steel cuts, Kathy. She has even less of an excuse for botching it. Hey, Kathy, radical idea. Try this, folks. Next time you're making oatmeal, instead of water as a base, try rice milk or almond milk.
Ooh.
I'm horrifying my ex-girlfriends by talking healthy here, but try it out sometime. Rice milk or almond milk instead of water as your base. Damn, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Wow, this has turned into a cooking show. All right, then. Jim Ward, what dish to pass have you brought this morning?
Don't drive like my brother. Oh, no, that's a different show. I'm sorry. Sorry, I should have put the wrong studio.
All right. Christian Weller.
By the way, you're welcome from my military service. You know,
thank you, Jim. Thank you for
in my
service.
Previous life. I was
yeah,
Joseph Stack
thanks me for my military service every time he comes on. He thinks I'm Randy Rhodes, and I'm
computer says no.
And I just say, oh, you're welcome.
Hey, live it up, man. A lot of girls think I'm K.D. Lang, and I explore.
Yeah.
All right. Christian Weller, fancy economist guy from the Center for American Progress, joins us. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Once again, we have, I guess, bad news for Republicans, good news for America. The unemployment rate held at 9.7, right, as employers shed fewer jobs than expected, evidence the job market may be slowly healing, they're saying.
Right. I think the good news, the bad news is in the labor market that basically nothing really changed either on the unemployment numbers or on the employment job creation. The reason why this may be good news is that we had actually expected the numbers, especially employment, the jobs numbers, to go down a lot further because of the snowstorms. They fell right in the middle of when the numbers were collected. So the expectation was that we would lose somewhere between 50 and 100,000 jobs, not 36,000, which is statistically actually insignificant. So we're basically flat. That's the good news.
Right. Analysts had expected the rate to rise to 9.8%. And that, you're right about the storm. They're saying it could have been 100,000. That would mean the economy could have generated a net gain in jobs last month, excluding the impact of the snow, for only the second time, they're saying, since the recession began, right?
That is correct. It could have, without the snow. We don't even know exactly if the Department of Labor that releases those numbers has been a little bit cagey to say we can't really estimate the effects of the snow. But given that we only lost 36,000, it could have been positive. The unemployment figures are unaffected by the snow because they're collected slightly differently. And the fact that the unemployment rate has held steady is certainly welcome. We're beginning to see a trend towards lower unemployment. There's a number of other things in the unemployment statistics that are, I think, important. Two that I would highlight. One is that the employed share of the population, the share of the population, of the adult population that has a job, has actually gone up. So that's certainly positive. And the other part is that long-term unemployment is beginning to edge down. So the people who have been looking for a job, the share of people who have been out of a job for 6 months or longer is still very high, but it's going down, and so is the length of unemployment that people are out of a job. So those things together, at least we're going in the right direction. It would be nice to go in the right direction a lot faster, but we're going in the right direction.
Now,
we still have massive unemployment that we need to deal with.
Yeah. Christian, let's talk about the incredible shrinking jobs bill that just passed yesterday. what do you think? Is this going to help? I mean, I know Nancy Pelosi said it's going to be one in a series of measures, but what do you think?
Well, I think there's two different strategies here, and one is really favored by the House of Representatives, and one is favored by the Senate. The House of Representatives would like to do one big bill that has everything in it, that is job creation measures, tax breaks for people who want to hire, unemployment insurance support, health insurance support for unemployed workers, and all of that. The logic there, though, is, and then that's why the Senate is going a different direction, is if you bundle everything in the package, it becomes very hard to sell, and then you're kind of in the world that we're in with a stimulus package where people don't like the stimulus package, but they like everything that's in it. Mm-hmm. And so the Senate is saying, like, well, why don't we go with a second strategy and just simply pass bills for every little piece? And so we're going to do something on tax breaks for companies, smaller businesses that want to hire workers. Then we're going to do an unemployment insurance bill, and then we'll talk about infrastructure investments in green energy jobs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, you think this is at least a start, this jobs bill?
I think it's a start, and you got to remember the big one is this unemployment insurance provision. That is extending unemployment benefits, raising unemployment benefits that people can get by $25, plus continuing to set the health care subsidy for unemployed workers. That is a substantial amount of money. And what Harry Reid did was he basically took it out of the jobs bill in the Senate because he knew it would be more popular to do the jobs bill tax credits for smaller businesses separate from the unemployment insurance. It's just easier to sell that in two different steps. The other part is he was hoping, and he got it, that some Republican would come out there and say, like, well, we don't want to extend the unemployment insurance benefits because – and Jim Bunning gave him that. That was the gift that kept on giving for 2 weeks.
If the asshat fits, wear it. Yes. Jim Bunning stepped forth.
There is some questions about Jim Bunning and how well he is, there were a number of Republicans who were caught in that and who were caught left-footed saying, we should not pass the – I mean, basically what came through was Republicans were against unemployed workers, and Democrats were certainly celebrating that kind of message because they knew they couldn't hold – the Republicans couldn't hold on to it. So I think it was an interesting game of political showmanship.
Christian, what do you think about – I mean, obviously, this has been a long slog with health care, but, I mean, I read a great piece in the New York Times, I think it was last weekend, that said, you know, the people that think health care will just stay – everything will just stay the way it is if we don't do anything about health care are sadly mistaken, that – you know, it really, as the president's been saying, is just going to economically break us with the amount that costs and premiums and all that are going up. I think it's even economically speaking, it really is not an option, is it, to do nothing?
No, it's not really an option. I mean, like, if you look at the business world, what you find is that the majority of businesses actually want to do the right thing and offer health care to health insurance to their employees. But eventually, no businesses can operate with average increases in premiums around 10 to 20%. But more importantly, these premium increases fluctuate a lot. 1 year you have no premium increase, and the next year you have a 39% increase in premium. You cannot run a business like that. So what we've seen is...
Listen, I'm running a small business, and pretty soon it's going to be just me and my sound effects box. That's going to be it.
Without health insurance. So what people are doing, what business owners are doing, is they're just simply shifting that unpredictable, that risk in terms of premium increases and costs onto the employees, either by completely abandoning health insurance or by reducing what health insurance actually offers. And So I think businesses, at least in the current world, have a way out.
I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start sending Chris, my producer, a bill for his health insurance. It's actually more than his paycheck, and see how long it takes him to figure out that he's actually losing money on this whole.
I'm happy to talk to Chris about the economics of that one.
Yeah, I think I already know the economics of that one.
Christian,
what it does is it will mean that we're going to live for quite some time with very high personal bankruptcies and enormous economic and social and psychological distress among families, among not just poor, but among really the broad swath of middle-class families. And that's just detrimental to the economic health of our country, but it's also detrimental to ultimately political health of many politicians.
And that's all Obama's fault, because Bush left us with a surplus.
Of course.
Christian, how many jobs...
He inherited the Clinton-Gore recession.
Yeah. How many jobs were lost under the Bush presidency? Do we know? Is there an abacus big enough to count how many jobs were lost under the Bush presidency?
No. Well, we... Oh, you mean like in the first... We didn't lose that money under his. I mean, the problem is we should have created like millions more than we actually did create under the Bush presidency. I mean, it was the lowest job creation during the good years, before even the business cycle started, that the recession started. It was the slowest job growth of any business cycle since the Great Depression. That means what people often forget is people think, okay, well, in 2007, early 2008, we flipped the switch, the recession happened after the enormous economic party, but we'd never had that party.
Yeah, I must have missed the party, yeah.
And so you come out of massive underemployment, especially among minorities, among young workers, incredible debt burden the families had to accumulate because their wages didn't rise, because their health insurance was cut, because their pension was cut, because college costs, housing costs had gone, and healthcare costs had gone through the roof for between 2000 and 2007. So you have this very volatile mix, even at the beginning of the recession, when things should have been good. And you then overlay with that massive job losses by the end of 2008, by the end when Bush leaves office, we're losing about 700,000 jobs per month. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You're combining the worst recovery since the Great Depression with the worst recession since the Great Depression. So that doesn't bode very well for economic health of families.
You really are quite the Friday pick-me-up, Christian Weller. Thank you, as always, for taking time for us. We appreciate it. We'll check in with you next time.
Anytime. Thank you
all
very
right,
much.
All right, there he goes. Christian Weller from the Center for American Progress.
As exciting as all that good news is, you should read Matt Taibbi's article in Rolling Stone this month. Wall Street's bailout hustle, Goldman Sachs and other big banks aren't just pocketing the trillions we gave them to rescue the economy. They're recreating the conditions for another crash. Yay!
Exactly.
Oh, that is magic. All right. I need to balance things on the Happy Clappy Show with some good news. It's a very exciting rumor regarding if you think that Supreme Court decision was bad, there's a very exciting rumor regarding SCROTUS when we come back. I'll tell you what it is. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Burn the mother down.
Yeah, exactly. 24 minutes after the hour.
Or tie your mother down, according to Freddie Mercury. Yeah.
What?
Either way. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, I don't know whether... The rumor itself is exciting. You're saying he's denied it, John, but...
He has.
There's a rumor that U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts is seriously considering stepping down.
Yes!
Radar Online was saying he can announce his decision at any time. I guess he's denied it, but...
He has denied
it. How great would that be to realign SCROTUS?
He has denied it, and he's had a couple of seizures since he was made Chief Justice.
He has epilepsy, apparently.
Mm-hmm. He does indeed.
Yes.
Yes. So that's we should not make fun of that,
no.
And we wish him the best of health and good luck in the future. But he's a very young, healthy, right-wing guy who's not as nice as his demeanor indicates.
Yeah, what happened to the whole just an umpire? Just calling the balls and the strikes and the...
Whatever.
That thing.
Yeah, he's not going to be dropping out. What we need to do is trap him in a gay scandal. And I will take one for the team on this. Okay.
I was getting all excited. I thought, you know, Jim, he has to appoint somebody. Shakira, somebody, I don't know, Bernie Sanders.
Shakira's getting appointed to everything else. Why not?
Janine Garofalo.
Bring back Souter, for God's sake.
It better be the most liberal person in the world that he appoints next. Is all I'm saying.
Janine Garofalo.
I mean, let's not forget, you know, Sonia Sotomayor is a lot more conservative than David Souter was. So under Obama, the court has gone to the right. Mm-hmm. It's time to make it work. And if we're going to lose Ruth Bader Ginsburg and John Paul Stevens in this term, let's knock off. Republicans are good at one thing. They nominate young, healthy men to the Supreme Court.
Tom in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Steph, how are you?
Good.
Hey, what'd you do to Rebecca?
It's none of your business. I'd have to kill you if I told you. No, she's taken a couple months sabbatical to deal with some family stuff. And
we hope
to have her back soon.
I was just concerned that you had her in your dungeon in New York or something.
Yes, she's in the dirt hole. It's the silence of
putting the lotion
producer
on its skin.
Yeah.
Yes.
It puts the moisturizer on its skin or it cuts the hose.
Anyway, I'm either like an ultra... conservative Democrat or a ridiculously liberal Republican. That would be my wife's description. But I'm actually an actuary, and commenting on the rate hikes for health care, there's three primary drivers, at least in my state. One is we have an aging population and much better technology, and that's expensive. And believe me, I'm not trying to propose any solutions here. I'm just giving the raw numbers because as a boring actuary, that's what I do.
It makes great radio, too, by the way.
More boring numbers, please.
Exactly. The second big driver is obesity and obesity-related things. Mm-hmm. And the third biggest driver is emergency room visits. And in our state, over 60% of those are undocumented citizens, and 20% are uninsured people, and you know the rest is insured people. So it's a very complex situation, and honestly, Mike, we freak out every time we have to analyze our rates because we only try to get about 2% a year.
And, well, it's, you know,
the numbers, we like flip out if the rate's going to be increased by more than like 6 or 8%, and we scramble around going, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Are you calling from a haunted house? I'm just curious what all the squeaky doors are behind.
I thought it was a parakeet call.
All right. Thank you for calling.
I'm letting my massive dog in the house.
Oh. All right. Thank you for calling, Rain Man. I appreciate it.
Well, that was
definitely cost drivers.
That was exciting.
Definitely more expensive.
I actually went and played a game of chess during that, so I missed part of what he said.
Yes, all I know is that, is there any math, Jim, that justifies a 39% increase in one billing cycle? I don't think so. No.
Yeah, and I also think that you're never going to have a president really be able to come out and take on obesity, because you're going to lose a big share of your base if you do that.
Literally, physically, yeah. A big share.
Yes, you will lose a massive slice of voters. I think after a call like that, we need to have a wrangle off.
What do you think, Jim?
I thought there was only 1 minute mimic. Now there's two.
Hey, this is my cabin on the cruise, Wrangle. What are you doing in here?
What are you doing in here?
Wait, you're the other me? There's two of me?
You don't look a bit like Charlie Wrangle.
I gotta go pass out on a beach and have someone take a picture now. It's okay. You didn't pay for it. The corporations did.
All right, everybody. Calm down. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, my heart has made some pretty bad decisions in my life. My heart thought it was a good idea to go backstage at the Peter Frampton concert. Thankfully, it was pre-internet, so only 4 people saw what happened.
Do you feel like I love
it? Like I wish I still had my hair.
Remember when that was the coolest thing ever, that thing he did with his...
What is that thing called?
The wah-wah pedal.
No, it's not
the wah-wah pedal. I saw Peter Frampton play for Bowie.
I saw him in Buffalo.
I saw him play for Bowie on the Glass Spider tour. He was Bowie's lead guitarist in 87. Right. And he played with Ringo in the 90s and did a great tour. Yeah. He's a great sideman.
I saw him in my hometown of Buffalo, New York, and I remember, Chris, we have the crowd erupted. It was, I love you.
It's a tube that you breathe into. It's not the vocoder, is it? Yes, vocoder. That's right.
Daft Punk has that now when they do one more time.
Yes. I love that
you
song.
You can't stop.
Wow, we're having Peter Frampton flashback.
By the way, can I just say Lil Wayne deserves to be released from jail for his gun charges and sent back to jail for singing with auto-tune in that We Are the World remix.
Oh, God. You know, I still haven't heard that We Are the World remix, and I'm not seeking it out either.
You will never hear Streisand and Lil Wayne sing together in the same song again, Chris LaVoie. What is wrong with you?
Good.
Oh, by the way, I got to apologize to Leno's audience for accusing them of being morons. There apparently is a sound engineer there who's been a sound engineer for 30 years, and says they added laughter and covered up the groans and hoots of derision.
Really? Yeah. They're sweetening
Is
this the Tonight
Show? Stephanie Miller
Show,
particularly Jim Ward, would like to apologize to the Jay Leno audience, who are not morons.
No.
Yes. They're not morons.
They were made to look like morons by the sweetening.
Yeah, because we were like, they're really laughing and applauding that loud, that direct from Sarah Palin, and apparently they weren't.
Wow, fascinating. Well, there you go, folks. Not only did Jay Leno try to help Sarah Palin this week, he tried to make her look good. Just, you know, think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
By the way, during that commercial break, 75 Democrats announced they weren't running for re-election.
I don't think that's true.
75.
I don't think you're
during
counting
that
correctly.
One five-minute break.
No. 2 senior administration officials said the White House is telling Democrats reconsidering their support for health care reform that they will pay the price for their original vote no matter what happens, so they should reap the political benefits of actually passing the law. I say yes. Yeah, they said flip-flopping is dangerous in this business, which, I mean, seriously, I can't believe at this late date we're still trying to corral Democrats like stupid.
Stupakistan.
Here's what annoys me, Chris. If you watched it, you've seen him on the TV all over the place, right?
Stupak?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they just, this is what our complaint is. So Jim and I talk about this all the time, about the where is the quote-unquote liberal media?
Right.
They just keep letting, like they always set everything up like a he said, she said, or oh, here's two sides. There are not two sides to this. These are false claims about the Senate's abortion provision. They keep letting it go unchallenged.
And he was part of the C Street, whatever it's called, the family.
He was part of C Street. He lived there and paid $600 a month in rent to live in that $1 million place.
Right.
So I don't know what that's about, but C Street.
Well, my point is, I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat. The media should do their job. You can't, you know, there are some issues that, yes, there are two sides, but then there are some things that are just patently false that you need to go, well, there's not a, let me just point out what I'm talking about. So President Obama signaled his support for passing the Senate health care bill alongside a reconciliation package, but pro-life Democrats, led by Representative Bart Stupak, have pledged to oppose the Senate bill unless Congress strengthens the prohibitions against federal funding of abortion. Stupak has relied on a fundamentally dishonest interpretation of the Senate bill to argue that it would allow for public funding of abortion, and the media has failed to fact-check his insertions, and indeed most reports that have covered the dispute between he and Nancy Pelosi as sort of a he-said-she-said thing, adding legitimacy to his misrepresentation.
Right, the 11 of the guys, Mark Sanford's insertions.
These are the same guys who say that you shouldn't have civil hate crimes laws because we already have laws in the books. Yet they want to add more anti-abortion laws on top of the anti-abortion laws that have already been there since the Hyde Amendment in 76. And how hilarious is it? No one talks about this. These pro-lifers support the death penalty and the Iraq war and unmanned drone bombs. So they're pro some life.
Well, anyway, the quote-unquote extensive debate, as it's been called on TV, has been settled. They list exact page numbers of the Senate health care bill, clearly prohibit federal dollars from funding non-Hyde abortions, contrary to Stupak's claim. Page 2017 of the Senate bill give insurers the choice of providing abortion coverage. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, excuse me, what was supposed to be the pro-choice party in the first place, and we understand, you know, people have different views, but to sink health care because you don't like the specific language in a bill that clearly prohibits federal funding for abortion.
And, this guy's an empty suit. He's running for re-election, and he's just trying to rally his base. That's all it is. It's a lot of political theater. He knows that there's already this provision there. He's trying to get more votes from pro-lifers in his state. That's all this is about.
All
right. He's willing to sacrifice your health care for it.
Representative Nancy Pelosi on the vote in the House.
We take it a new vote every time. This is every legislative vote is a heavy lift around here. You assume nothing. Assume nothing in terms of where you were before and where people may be now. You start 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to a majority vote. And respecting the questions that they have, we believe that the product will be good.
Oh, let's hope so. She says she's feeling strong, which, okay.
I feel very strong. We have been very effective in terms of passing the full Obama agenda in 2009. So we know that when you're effective, you're a target.
Well, they have actually. That's the thing is this whole do nothing. They have passed a lot of stuff. It's just
the
that obviously
Obama
this, the
agenda was passed.
The conversation has been about health care, and that's not done yet. So I think they create this illusion of, you know, that nothing's gotten done when they've gotten a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, and stuff that wasn't part of the Obama agenda got done, too. So we're happy about that. I mean, I got to say, Nancy Pelosi's been the real hero of the healthcare fight for me. I was ready to write her off a year ago when we found out she knew about torture all along. And, you know, and then you've got Harry Reid, who does about as much, I think, as the human appendix. I did enjoy that documentary about him called No Impact Man last year. But Nancy Pelosi has been the real congressional hero of the healthcare fight. And she's the one who's holding Obama's feet to the fire on the public option more than anybody.
Yeah, and I think that in that the healthcare summit, you were like, oh, yeah, okay, kick ass. You go. Kick ass, sister. Mm-hmm. Kathleen Sebelius, Health and Human Services Secretary on the insurance market.
They're terrified that they're next. If they're not affected directly right now, you know, what's going to happen next? And clearly it isn't one state or one company or one isolated situation. I think the individual and small group market is seeing double-digit rate increases across the board. And it's one of the reasons that the president is very eager to have a comprehensive health reform bill that, among other things, has a new marketplace.
Angelique in New Orleans, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Angelique, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I just so love you, and I just want to thank you so much for just injecting humor into this this national scene.
She's hot, too.
And you have to understand that, you know, in New Orleans, you know, you're a real, people like you are a beacon of hope because we're not really part of the South, but we unfortunately geographically fall there.
Right, yeah.
In fact, I'm sure that New Orleans was the only section of the entire South that went for Obama in 08. But, you know, and it's just, this is my question. I'm starting to wonder, do you think we really should look at starting a progressive party as a third party?
I'm so
disappointed.
No. No, I think we need to, you know, hold Democrats' feet to the fire to be as progressive as Americans are. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we keep saying it over and over, but Americans, this is not a center-right country. If you look at each and every issue, we're a lot more liberal than our representatives in Congress, even Democrats. So, you know.
Well, that's the point. How do they get there then? I mean, we have Mary Landrieu. I'm very disappointed, naturally, but, you know, they're just become corporatist. I mean,
right.
We just can't get away from that.
I hear you, but see, that's what I think, you know, we may find out in this election cycle is, you know, people like her and Blanche Lincoln and Arlen Specter are in trouble because I don't think people want Democrats to be more like Republicans. I think they want them to have some balls, you know.
Right.
And
third-party candidates don't win.
Historically they do. Let's not forget. I hate to be against my friends here on the radio, but our first third-party president got in with 38% of the vote, and he was a Republican, and it was Lincoln. Okay,
right.
It is possible. When Teddy Roosevelt quit the Republican
Party. You're going back
Party,
a little ways.
Sure, well, let me go to the last century.
I agree.
I'll go one century ago. When Teddy Roosevelt quit the Republican Party, he ran as a progressive advocating universal health care in 1912 and got 1 million more votes than the Republican incumbent president. He lost to the Democrat.
Right.
Angelique, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
It can happen. My dad hates me for this. My dad's against coalition government. Look at Italy. They're a mess.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
It works in Germany.
We, the Americans, deserve more choices than just two.
Mm.
And I'm a big believer. Look, go ahead and be like the Tea Partiers and start your own party, but vote Republican anyway, okay? That's just a holding pen for disgruntled Republicans. They're still coming back. The Tea Party movement is like the May Pang of political movements, okay? You can go off and have a weekend with May Pang, but you're coming back to Yoko in the end.
Oh, God.
I have to go back to the
70s. Jim in New York, you're on the Stephanie
Miller.
Welcome, Jim.
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on, I know this is four calls ago, but the fellow that was talking about Christianity and no government and so on. I mean, first of all, he's wrong, but I'll explain that. But if he wants to take it at his face value, Jesus did talk about sharing, but in a very radical way. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you have two shirts, give your brother one. So let the guy have his opinion, but he shouldn't take the 11th shirt down to the Goodwill. He should go out on the street and probably give 9 of his 10 shirts away.
Sounds like a word problem.
And what if those shirts are on a train moving toward Chicago at 40 miles an hour?
But you're right. I mean, Acts of the Apostles is, you guys should read Acts of the Apostles. It's radical socialism.
Yeah, exactly. Sam in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sam.
Hi there.
Hello.
I just wanted to give you a heads up that as of last night, Radar Online had retracted that story.
About the John Roberts.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but they still have to report that they reported it.
One can always hope.
Yeah. Well, they traced it back to a law professor actually giving an example. He started out this rumor from highly sourced or highly placed unnamed sources. And then about halfway through his lecture, he said, oh, remember that rumor that I told you about at the beginning of the lecture? That was a total crap. I made it up just to prove my point. And I think what probably happened is people were in his class hearing his lecture, tweeting about it, and Radar Online picked it up and ran with it. And, you know, that's
By the way, as we say, we did not wish him ill health-wise. We were hoping it was like Evan Bayh, like he just doesn't love the Supreme Court anymore. People made fun of me because of the corporate money one, and I quit.
Court's dysfunctional.
All
Clarence
right.
Thomas is hitting on Ginsburg. It's not nice.
We were hoping he would just be annoyed. He and his bobblehead friend Alito. People are being mean to us because of that. Oh, that decision. We quit.
And Thomas. I think you could throw Thomas out. Sure.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would notice.
Exactly.
He hasn't said anything in 30 years.
Yeah.
At least he's consistent.
whatever Scalia says. That's what he just has a stamp that says whatever Scalia says.
Uh-huh. What he says.
He's a free thinker. 46 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. We are in mid-Fridays with Fuglesang. John Fuglesang, all 3 hours with us in the
New
York studio.
It's like dancing on the ceiling.
Dancing on the Ceiling. You got to go to. I'm going to send you the Classic Rock Cornfield for playing that song. We went from Goldfrapp to Dancing on the Ceiling. Oh,
we play it all here, John.
I know. We're playing the hits.
I know. I'm going to be your classic rock snob friend today. Although Rodney was in that video, so.
Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tim.
Is it just me, or has anyone really else noticed that Glenn Beck has completely fallen off the wagon of any type of mentally competence anymore?
Yes, and he seems so sane before now.
And it turned out that's testing well with Fox viewers.
Apparently, because I'm watching, you know, I'm an insomniac occasionally, and I had nothing else to watch but Glenn Beck, and I'm like, okay, it's time to go to bed, and then it was, he was rambling on about something that I completely blew me away, saying how, you know, his grandfather had only had a fourth grade education, and, you know, he tied that in with religion, saying that, see, you know, Jesus only had no education, and we don't need education in this country. We just need common sense.
We don't need no thought control.
We don't need no thought control either, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it just, it completely blows me away. You know, they dismiss religion one minute, and they use it when it's convenient for them, and then as soon as they possibly can, they throw it away.
Yep.
Yeah, well, they like to be the Khmer Rouge and have no educated people at all because Fox News essentially has become peasant maintenance.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Don't forget, Fox News is for feudal lords and the serfs that really like them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're right. If Glenn Beck was any more unbalanced, he'd be cubist.
Jerry in Phoenix on Jesus. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. You were talking about the homosexual in the New Testament, and I remember doing a paper in graduate school on this very topic many years ago. And one of the things that I've never heard any of these guys point out is the fact that there was no such thing as like a committed relationship in the time of Jesus or in the time of Paul. There was no like gay area or West Jerusalem or any area like that, you know, or anything that we see today was non-existent. The term homosexual didn't exist to the late 19th century, and there was no such thing as orientation. And when even Paul talks about lust, he doesn't differentiate between male, female, boy, whatever, it's all the same.
Exactly.
And what he's referring to in his time, you know, homosexuality in the Greek culture, the Platonic love idea had been denigrated, you know, by the time of Paul, where it was like male prostitutes dressing up, putting makeup on, he even talks about that, hanging out in the marketplace. There was a really kind of a dark side. There was slavery issues. There's all kinds of things. And it's not the same thing at all that we're, you know, talking about today. And I've never heard them.
Well, no, I've heard a biblical scholar say that Sodom and Gomorrah was, in his opinion, about promiscuity.
Well, no,
not about homosexuality.
But it's not. It's not about promiscuity either. Sodom and Gomorrah, exactly. It's about being kind to immigrants in your midst.
Exactly.
That's what the whole story is about. The two angels, they're called messengers in the book, show up and they say to Lot and his family, you've got to get out of here. Bad stuff's going down.
Right.
The crowd of men gather outside and say, who are those guys in there? Throw them out here so we can rape them in the street. Or that we might know them, which in the biblical sense means you're in Oz. Lot, the hero, says, hey, why don't you gang rape my two daughters instead? You'd like that. What a guy. He's the hero of the story.
Exactly.
They said, throw those guys out here. Those guys use laser beams to freeze them, and they escape from the city. And from there we get that two guys holding hands need to be killed.
Right.
It's about being kind to strangers. That's what Sodom and Gomorrah is.
Thank you, Jerry, for calling.
Bible was written on acid, clearly.
And by the way, he mentioned St. Paul, because St. Paul's the only homophobia in the New Testament, and Paul didn't want anyone having sex with anyone because he believed the world was going to end in his lifetime when Christ came back.
I've concluded one thing by this whole Sodom and Gomorrah, and that is Jesus would hate Lou Dobbs. I think Jesus clearly hates Lou Dobbs.
Jesus would forgive Lou Dobbs,
right?
But he's better than us.
I don't think Jesus would think we should stone the killer whale to death. That's
all
I'm saying.
Lou Dobbs would call him Jesus.
Yes.
Did you hear that story, Jim, that Focus on the Family wants us, or the Family Association wants us to stone the Tillicum to death? Because it says so in the Bible. That's tough, though. That's a lot of stones.
Yeah. They're upset because the killer whale is a, you know, killer.
It's called killer whale for a reason. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. They're trying to be helpful by naming themselves killer whales. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, Michelle Malkin on the Fox News Freaks.
Oh.
I don't know about you guys. I've been very touched by their concern for our political well-being.
If they insist on using this parliamentary trick, it will become the major issue in 2010, and it will be a referendum on the cram-down way of doing business that the Democrat majority has pulled over the last year. People don't like it, and President Obama can say as much as he wants that the American people don't care about process, but process and bad process and bad policy have become equivalent. They're synonymous with this administration.
Bad reporting.
Well, she's pregnant, because in that sentence she missed four periods. You know, for a woman to be that hot and that crazy, and I still don't want to touch her, is pretty sad. These parliamentary tricks she speaks of are exactly what the Republicans used to wreck our economy by passing the tax cuts for millionaires. Reconciliation with their Democrat accomplices. Thank you, Hillary.
I love when they get hysterical. It's like we're really going to go, oh, okay, we better stop now then.
Better stop using those parliamentary tricks, because it's never been tried before.
Tricks that we used.
It's like a parliamentary balloon animal. I've never seen such a trick.
But that reconciliation, you know, it's what they use to and I'm talking the bunning here, it's what they used to give those rich people tax cuts that we also couldn't pay for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Brian in Miami on Jesus as well. Hi, Brian. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey there, guys. Jesus wasn't just a socialist. He was a full-on collectivist. My favorite parable from the Bible, and I'm not a Christian, but this is one that just really rings true to me, was the loaves and fishes parable. And, you know, the lesson in that one was that, you know, everybody needs to put into the collective so that nobody goes without. I mean, you know, the group of Israelis who came to him, you know, for a Seder, and he fed an entire colony of people with a couple of fish and a couple pieces of bread. And the whole lesson was there. You know, the collective needs to be able to take care of itself, at least when it comes to the essentials of life. And that way the whole community would stay alive and would prosper.
Yep, absolutely. All right, honey. Thanks for your call. All right. You know, Chris, it's not often in right-wing world that I'm going to play a soundbite from someone I spent Christmas with.
What?
But
what?
Oh, boy.
Franz Ferdinand?
All right, Tyler. 58 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World continues next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. We are in Fridays with Fuglesang, John Fuglesang, in the New York Bureau here of The Stephanie Miller Show. The MOOCs, back in Los Angeles. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller.
I was watching an old newsreel from I think it was the 40s about Los Angeles, and the announcer kept pronouncing it Los Angeles. It was awesome, yes.
They already used to call it Los Angeles. Yeah,
that's awesome, Chris. Lavoie.
Yes, Lavoie.
Lavoie. By the way, there are magical new things up at StephanieMiller.com. Some photographer was in Central Park and took these amazing pictures of my dogs, Max and Fred. Max and Fred and Mommy in a snowstorm in Central Park.
Max!
You know why I think they're so misbehaved? They only accept commands in Basque. From the Pyrenees.
You see. That's funny.
Also, I believe in Photoshop fun, Julie in Seattle. Did you put that up, Chris? We were told we have, for some reason, I'm wildly popular in India.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Photoshop fun of the Bollywood film Stephanie Miller in Press Any Key.
Press Any Key.
What would a slumdog like you know about being popular in Bollywood? You must have cheated to get that.
My friend, Steph, here's a link. You should see yourself in India. You must have big fans over there. It's iplextra.indiatimes.com/topic/StephanieMillerVideos.
It's such a gorgeous picture of you. I've just got Gandhi fantasies now. All about you.
All right.
Can I just say one thing? Mm. They want to replace Ulysses S. Grant with Reagan on the $50 bill.
Yes.
I think much more appropriately would be to put Reagan's head above Grant's and let it gradually trickle down.
Hey!
There you go.
See, that's a joke about Reaganomics, everybody. Mm. All right. We continue our slog through the right-wing world. Yeah, it is not often, Chris, that I look on my soundbite list and say, hey, I spent Christmas with that guy.
That is weird. What?
And he is lovely in person.
Oh, I'm sure he is. And you're not going to make fun of his last name.
No. David Asman is his name. He's but he's my next door neighbor in Westchester, as well, where I used to live. It's her brother.
Oh. Hmm.
See, and I was visiting friends in Westchester over Christmas, and I got to spend a lovely holiday with him and his even more right-wing wife.
The Asman?
Hey, who I did get in a little political spat with, as I'm known to do.
We like conservatives, just not who they vote for.
All right. Here he is on the Pelosi and the health care bill.
According to Ms. Pelosi, it's going to take an act of courage to do something that Americans don't want because they really need it. Now, Nancy Pelosi's language is straightforward, but it is the language of a dictator rather than a representative. We don't vote for people to tell us what we need. And we don't need politicians ramming something down our throats that we don't want.
You
see,
never know
he
was a conservative by his bombastic way of pronouncing.
Is he a reporter?
He's a reporter. You see, that's part of the straight-up reporting there, Jim. They do. They don't reject any opinion.
I just got a cool gig. Adapting his whole speech to a nonfiction form, so I'm excited about that. I think I can pull it. Then I'm going on the Karl Rove's book.
Jim, now the next time I see him, I'm going to blurt out "ass man." You're going to see. Well, you're going to get me in trouble.
I can't believe you didn't make fun of it before.
Da 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 da.
Ass man.
Hi, ass man. All right.
I'm not allowed to make fun of anybody's last name because my name's Fugelsang.
Well, yeah.
All right. Ed Rollins on the Situation
Room. It's
just
Danish for ass man.
It's another new entitlement program that's going to cost us a fortune, just as some of the past entitlements have. I think long term, if they would have taken some time, said to the Republicans, we'll give you, what do you want, to give us 10 or 15 votes, you might have had something that was more piecemeal, some of the reform issues. Mm. I think shoving this thing through when obviously the country's turned against it is going to pay a price.
Yeah, the country needs some walking around money.
That Ed Rollins is wrong. He's been wrong about everything his whole career. Why does he still get put on TV? He's still trying to buy his way back into the Republican big house from supporting Perot 18 years ago.
I'm sorry. Right. And did he just say in there, Chris, am I mistaken, that if we would have just given the Republicans more things, some of them would have voted for this?
Right.
So really, the year that we spent sucking up to Chuck Grassley and nope. Olympia Snow.
Not enough sucking.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. If we put the president just put a bunch of their ideas in his final.
They don't want bipartisanship. They're not even bipartisan curious. They want to stop it.
Thank you. Can I have my? Let me give you the fun facts on just how obstruction. I try to point out a quantitative example every day.
Right.
It's not just sort of the feeling that they're just a little bit obstructionist.
You're not going to pull out facts again, are you?
The headline is from Crooks and Liars: Senate Republicans even obstructing judicial nominees they help pick.
What?
If you need any more proof that the Senate Republicans' sole mission at the moment is to prevent anything from happening in their chamber of Congress, look no further than the fact that today the Senate had to seek a cloture on the nomination of Barbara Milano Keenan to fill a vacancy on the Fourth Circuit, resulting in a vote of 99-0. That's right. Not one Republican senator spoke against her qualifications, record, or views, or voted to prevent her nomination from receiving an up or down vote on the Senate floor. And yet, still they filibustered, forcing Democrats to seek a cloture vote in order to move ahead, simply because they're committed to obstructing the governing process in every way possible. Mm-hmm. Last year's total was the fewest judicial nominees confirmed in the first year of the presidency in more than 50 years. Those 12 federal circuit and district court confirmations were even below the 17 the Senate Republican majority allowed to be confirmed in 96.
Which they will point out in 2012 as a reason not to vote for Obama. See, look, you can't get anything through.
You know,
Senate Republicans have delayed in obstructive nominees chosen after consultation with Republican home state senators. The obstruction and delay part of a partisan pattern. Even when they can't say no, Republicans nonetheless demand the Senate go slow. The practice is continuing. This is the 17th filibuster of one of President Obama's nominees. This doesn't count the many other nominees who were delayed or being denied up or down votes by Senate Republicans refusing to agree to time agreements to consider even non-controversial nominees. That's the
up or down vote. That's practically communism.
You know, every time they obstruct Obama, he should release one Abu Ghraib torture photo. Just one.
Hmm.
Release one new Linda England picture a day until they obey themselves. Mm-hmm. Cheney will tell him.
Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear on health care.
One of the things that people have objected to most strongly, I mean, I think people people object to the substance of the bill. People are not in favor of what the president wants to do here. But people have also been sort of repulsed by the process. We've seen that really since December 20th with the Cornhusker kickback. And since then, how is the White House, how is Nancy Pelosi going to win votes, going to convert votes without these kinds of giveaways?
Wow. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
People are not against the substance of the bill. It's, you know, it really is the long, drawn-out sausage process. But like I just said, they're doing it on everything. Of course they're doing it on health care reform. This is what they're hoping, is people are getting disgusted by the whole process.
Well, in fairness, a lot of people are against the substance of the bill, and that's from the left. A lot of us don't like the fact that Obama ran against mandates, and now, after telling us how bad insurance policies are, this bill will force us to buy private insurance policies. Obama ran against this policy by saying, that's like saying you fix homelessness by forcing them to buy a house, and now he's flip-flopped on it. So he does deserve some criticisms from the left, and Paul Krugman himself said abandon the bill this week. So it is from both sides. That said, this guy's full of crap, and he's a lying sack of it.
Thank you. Congresswoman Donna Christensen, who we had on earlier, thinks that the exchanges are going to give people some relief. So I'm not prepared
help
to be
people.
As tough as you are
it
on
will,
the president. It will, the last thing I think we need to do now is criticize the president.
I'm supporting the bill. It will help. But let's not forget, they work for us, and we have to keep... If we as progressives just blindly follow our leaders, we might as well be Republicans, because that got us into the mess we're in now economically. We have to support them, but we also have to remind them that they work for us.
Amy Stoddard on the Britt Baier show.
They're caught in this election year with the wind up against them defending an unpopular health care reform bill with now these separate ethical issues among their membership, and it's pointing to victories for Republicans.
Wow. The separate, I'm sorry I couldn't hear that over the sound of glass houses shattering across the nation.
All right. O'Reilly, one last one, Obama and health care reform.
President Obama sincerely believes that health care reform will make America stronger. The man really believes that.
Wow.
Just as President Bush sincerely believes Saddam Hussein was a threat to the world. Men could be wrong. And it's very possible that Obamacare will cause mass chaos in our medical system and drive the Treasury into bankruptcy. That's not a scare tactic. That's real life.
Bill's wrong twice.
Yeah, except Jim, there's that pesky document that shows that the president was going to attack Saddam Hussein before 9/11.
Yes,
so,
of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
and by the way, if you don't like Saddam Hussein, take down your pictures of Reagan, folks, okay? Mm-hmm. Tell your conservative friends, take down the pictures of Reagan, because when Saddam gassed his own people in 88, it was Reagan who fought the Democrats against putting him on a terrorist watch list.
Right.
Fact.
He was our friend then because he was against the Iranians.
Because he was the military thug. He wasn't a religious kook, and that's
not
why we
all.
Armed the hell out of him, and that's why we were safer with Saddam Hussein in power, because he was
exactly.
a bulwark against the religious kooks.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle in Los Angeles. Hello, Michelle.
Hi,
Michelle. Go ahead.
I've been calling our senators, and I would encourage everybody to get Plan B, just in case the public option doesn't end up in the final reconciliation bill. The thing that can get in that bill is to lower the age of eligibility for Medicare down to, like, 50. We never have a Plan B. Okay.
I would love that. Back when they were talking about the expansion of Medicare, I'm like, that's a great idea. I mean, you know, like Jim's always said, it should have been Medicare for all, but whatever.
Like all of our capitalist allies have?
Yeah.
So we push for the public option, and we push for this.
Yep, I agree. Shayla in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Shayla.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks. Hey, Mr. Fugelfang.
Hi there.
Hi. Hey, I have something for right-wing, Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites for you.
Oh, okay, hang on. Okay.
Okay.
Come on down.
Married Republican State Senator Roy Ashburn from Southern California, with a history of opposing gay rights, was arrested for allegedly driving drunk after leaving a gay bar with another man in the car.
Yes. We reported this yesterday on the Stephanie Miller Newscast.
Oh.
You can't miss a minute.
Awesome.
If you think I missed for 1 minute a Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites.
Now we know where his medical condition came from.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Shayla.
But it is beautiful when the biggest homophobes like to dabble with men. I call them impulse buys. Beautiful thing.
I'm sorry, did I say Ashburn?
You said Ashburn. Kind of like ass man.
Ashburn. Oh, I'm stunned.
Ass man got burned.
All right, 17.
Well, we don't know if he's an ass man.
No, it's true.
We don't know.
He's not a top.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Believe me, this is so deeply warped, even I get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Won't you take me to Monkey Town? Won't you take me to
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I was just forcing John Fugelsang to look at the pictures of my dogs in Central Park.
Mm.
And I was go to the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com under Steph's Dogs. There they are, Max and Brett in Central Park at a little snow globe and mommy.
I will not take you to Funky Town. It's no place for you.
They don't want your kind there.
No.
They don't go for booze or dope.
Exactly. By the way, John Fugelsang took a picture of me on Broadway.
In a blizzard.
Computer says no.
I didn't like it.
Yeah,
my face looked fat. I rejected it.
Every time I take a picture of her, she looks insanely hot, and she always hates it.
Yeah, I know.
Hated it.
Yeah, I learned a long time ago that you just can't post pictures of her willy nilly on the website.
Oh no, no,
yeah.
Mama has photo approval.
Yeah. I got a good talking to.
Chris, I'm going to send you this picture of her in the blizzard because she looks fine.
Okay.
Her in a Times Square blizzard. She looks hot as hell, and hell's pretty steamy these days, and she just can't do it. It's always the most gorgeous women that have this self-deprecation.
I know.
The male patriarchal phallocentric power structure did right by you, baby.
Whatever. John in Scranton, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, John.
Welcome, Star. Hi, Steph. Hi, John. Hey,
hello.
Last hour you lumped Arlen Specter's name in with Landrieu and Lincoln, and that's kind of an insult to Specter because I've been a lifelong Pennsylvania Democratic voter, and it's common knowledge in this state that we've kept Arlen Specter in office for years through Democratic voters voting for him, even when he was a Republican. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Republican Party didn't trust him a bit, because when it came to any kind of progressive social economic issues, you could depend on Arlen to be there for you. And incidentally, I'm proud to say, both he and Bill Casey are signatures to the public option letter.
Yep. That's no, that, I, listen, you got yeah, absolutely. I hear you. I mean, when somebody does good, we got to say thumbs
absolutely.
Up on that.
Absolutely. And he hasn't signed on to every progressive bill in the last few years. But no. Arlen's come a long way. Republicans always hated him. He's always been hated by Ann Coulter.
That's
and
one
that's
thing
good
in
enough
his
for
favor.
Me.
Yes.
But he still has to answer for the magic bullet theory. Sorry, 46
exactly.
years is still rubbish.
He's disqualified because Jim Ward says so. Senator Joe Sestak. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. The entrance wound was at the level of the third thoracic vertebra, not cervical. That means it was lower.
Yeah, and by the way, Jim, Joe Sestak, a military guy, I'm sure that he doesn't believe the single bullet theory. So there's reason enough.
It's the magic bullet theory. It's got to be brought up. And Jim, stop trying to seduce the women with your Kennedy assassination facts. Cause
I know, it makes them wild.
Jill in Ithaca on the air traffic control kit at JFK. Hello,
Hi,
Jill.
Hi, Stephanie. Good to talk to you and the guys.
Thank you.
Anyway, possibly that air traffic controller who let his son, talk to the pilots is going to be fired. But no one's ever been fired about 9/11. And what kind of mess was
exactly.
that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. That's true.
And the greatest failure in national security history in America, and the national security advisor got a promotion.
Well, yeah. Bill Maher got fired.
And the commission looking at it were just lied to or cut out of all kinds of information that would have been crucial to actually finding out what happened.
Tell your Republican friends, the 9/11 Commission, at no point does it say that Osama bin Laden was behind it, and Bush would only testify if he could do it with Cheney and not under oath.
Right, and no notes taken of any kind or recordings.
Yeah, and Van Jones got fired because he has questions about 9/11.
Right, and there were something like 85 cameras watching the Pentagon. All of those tapes were confiscated. Except for that one little bit of a security camera film, which doesn't tell you very much at all.
Mm. The flip side, of course, is if Bush was behind 9/11, the planes would have missed.
John in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, John.
Good morning. You had a previous caller mention a plan B for health care involving Medicare age, and that's something that President Obama could do using an executive order or
Amen.
A presidential finding. And while it would not be binding on subsequent presidents, it would buy time to get the legislation to do exactly that.
But you know what, John? We would find out how great it works.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
That's what they're afraid of.
And Tom Hartman wrote a whole op-ed about how he could sign Medicare for All in a one-page executive order.
That's right. It's an administrative change, literally, an age.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yep. Thank you, John. Good call. And the other side benefit to that, Jim, is John Boehner would only have one page to throw down, and that would hardly even make a sound.
Well, we'll have orange spray tans covered under Medicare, so he'll be happy.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope. We don't have time to do that.
Well, I'm going to promise that I'd have something big to throw down on the floor again. It's only one page. It's too small.
Too bad it's online.
You just hear this little...
How can a man be full of crap and an empty suit at the same time?
All I can do is make origami. Did you see the jobs bill, the teeny tiny jobs bill? He still bitched about that.
Oh,
he slammed
God.
The jobs bill, complaining that he didn't get the text of it till 9:35.
Except it was too tiny. So
9:35 a.m. on Thursday is when I got. Like, he doesn't know what's in the friggin' jobs bill. Right. They've been debating it for how long?
I gotta say, it's a real pleasure.
I swear to God, he doesn't. The size of the room is wrong, Jim. That what time he got the text is.
Mercury's in retrograde. I can't read this.
A whiner. Good
what,
Lord.
What kind of font is this? I can't read this.
Helvetica. Communist. It's great to be making fun of Republicans in a week that's been so bad for New York Democrats, by the way.
We'll talk about that when we get back. 29 minutes after the hour, that celebrity stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I know exactly what I'm going to do with my money, too. Ernest and Julio Gallo are going to be jumping up and down in their office, too.
Woo-hoo! Happy Friday, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, this is going to be a culinary nightmare, Chris, for John Fugelsang. I have a date with John Fugelsang and his wife as I.
Yes.
As my social life continues to blossom here.
You'll
in New
make
York.
A fine sister wife.
But his wife is a vegetarian, so I need to cook something with tofu.
Oh, boy.
Some bean-type substances,
that's not
going to
work.
Well, I've actually created mofu, which is made of tofu but tastes like meat. And I'm sorry, made of meat but tastes like tofu.
Oh.
So it's for ex-vegetarians. Yeah, mofu. Pick it up now.
Otherwise known as a chicken McNugget.
Yes, exactly.
Gene in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Gene.
Doing. I want to see Fugelsang's Reagan currency proposal and raise the stakes here. Now, we all know that Reagan's biggest legacy, of course, was then record debts and deficits. So if you think Stephanie Miller is hot, call your senators, call your congressmen, and propose two things. Number one, let's put FDR on the $20 bill. And number two, let's put Reagan's beautiful face on every federally issued credit card.
Exactly right. He should only be on credit cards.
All right. Thank you, Gene. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Yeah, Stephanie. I love the show.
Thank you.
I was really interested in that discussion you had earlier with that right-winger, presumably a right-winger that called in to describe Jesus' position as not being socialist. And I appreciated John Fugelsang's response to that. I just wanted to add a caveat that I was raised in a strange religion that taught that Jesus was actually apolitical. I mean, there was the whole issue where they about his being king, and he denied that his kingdom was any part of the world. And so if these right-wingers really want to follow Jesus' example, it seems to me that they should not be involved in politics in any degree. Or, as John seemed to imply, that if you regard politics to just be in a collective effort to organize human relations, that they should use that to represent their Christian attitude.
Yep. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get to call yourself a Christian and then vote for people who support killing people and helping the wealthy. It's not really in line with what Jesus talked about.
It seems so. No.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that's why I view Jesus like Elvis. I love the guy, but the fan clubs freak me out.
So Sarah Palin is shopping a reality show. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
Boy, I can see my dad doing this, can't you?
My dad called me last night and goes, I never thought I'd hear Sarah Palin in reality in the same sentence.
Hey!
I thought her life already was a reality show.
Exactly.
What else did she do?
This is really unbelievable. Is she seriously still being talked about as a serious candidate for president of the United States?
I'm not a politician. Get me out of here.
She went to, Jim, as they say in a business, on pitch meetings with Mark Burnett from Survivor, the big producer. She went on some pitch meetings. The focus of the series would be Alaska.
Yeah, because Heroes or Villains is already on the air.
They say it'll be more Planet Earth than the Osbournes Go North, but no word exactly what it is.
Planet Earth, except we hate environmentalists.
Yeah.
Planet Earth, but we kill animals for fun.
It'll be like, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, except she'll be shooting them, and she won't be sending Jim in to check on them or anything.
Her running for president is Obama's best hope at re-election, and we just have to hope that the pitch flops.
Superficial with a couple of Tiger Woods stories.
Uh-oh.
Tiger Woods' caddy is a horrible wingman. Tiger Woods' longtime caddy, Steve Williams, had no idea about the 67 cocktail waitresses his boss should have used the four iron with.
Really? He didn't tell his caddy about his personal life? I'm shocked.
It apparently would have gone public had he known, according to people. If I had known something was going on, the whistle would have been blown. But he went on to say, when a guy's having a tough time, it's not up to me to beat him with a stick. That's his wife's job. We all know.
He's the adultery cop caddy. Mm-hmm.
Superficial says it's probably not the best career move to publicly admit you would have hung Tiger Woods out to dry if you'd known about his 800 affairs. Seriously, you're a caddy. Last time I checked, that means you shut up, carry the man's clubs, and toss a hooker in the water hazard if he tells you to. The Superficial also reporting, oh, heavens, it's a lot of Tiger Woods news this morning, my goodness. Because diamonds don't come out of faucets, at least in the guest house, Elin Woods is moving back in with Tiger Woods. On Wednesday, she and Tiger spent approximately 3 hours together at the house where they will once again live together.
I want to see her Kobe rock.
Superficial says, I'm sure this had to be a difficult decision for Elin, going back to the man who humiliated her in front of the entire world, or living in a house that doesn't have heated floor tiles. It's like something out of a Lifetime movie about overcoming impossible odds.
You know, people said the same thing when Hillary Clinton stayed with her husband, and I'm sorry, you sign an oath, you work through the bad problems, and you forgive your spouse when they do it. But that said, you should never commit adultery on a woman after you've made her sit through that much golf, because that's just wrong.
Vinny in Baltimore, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Vinny.
Hello?
Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, I want to talk about the media.
All right.
Well, the
you're
real
soaking in it.
Huh?
You're soaking in it right now.
I know. The real reason why we don't have a public option and the media keeps this going, because the main beneficiary of the industry would be the media. If the insurance companies have to cut back on costs, the first thing they do is cut the marketing department.
Mm-hmm.
And once they cut the marketing department, there's no ads for Viagra, Cialis, and all these drugs, and they lose, just like in the Supreme Court.
Well, no, pharma will still be advertising because they got a big cash giveaway in this deal. But insurance itself, you're right, they would cut back on TV advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right. Absolutely.
But don't forget, for all the money insurance loses with this deal by getting rid of pre-existing conditions, they gain a lot more because of the mandate to buy insurance. So they'll still be fine financially.
Yeah, and I was worried about them there for a minute.
I was too. Could switching to a public option really reduce your on-television insurance ads by 15%?
Walter in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Walter.
Hello, Stephanie. I'd like to talk about polls. There was a wonderful article in the New York Times Week in Review last Sunday where they said Time Magazine reported last July that about 56% supported health care. A Pew poll found 52%. A Fox News poll reported 44%. And the difference, according to this person who wrote the article and a professor from Stanford, is not the way that people think or that they haven't really thought through their answers, but the questions on the poll. It's the way the questions are asked.
Yeah, that is true.
Difference. So I would really like to see when they publish a poll, wouldn't it be good if they published the questions that were asked so we could see how it was,
Yep, absolutely, Walter. Thank you. Good call. Yeah, it's like a Fox News. Have you ever seen the questions in a Fox News poll?
Do you object to President Obama's government takeover of the healthcare industry?
Right.
Do you think that president is really more of a socialist or just a Kenyan in general? What do you?
Yeah. Kenyan or a socialist?
It's like racist or douche. Your game. Your
my
game
favorite
show.
America's favorite game. Although now with Bunny, we have the new game: dementia or drunk.
Oh,
I'm sorry. We're not allowed to make fun of Bunny. Let me tell you, folks. This was the week of Patterson, Rangel, and Bunning, which is see no evil, admit no evil, and evil.
And evil itself.
Exactly.
Evil incarnate. Yeah, bad week you were saying for in New York Democrats.
Oh,
in
New York
here.
Democrats. We got Massa now and Patterson and
Rangel.
I mean, they've dropped the ball so many times, they should just move to Jersey and play for the Nets.
Flavin.
Yeah, I said it. I took on the Nets. That's right. It's a really depressing week for New York Democrats.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Well, it's mostly depressing for the Stephanie Miller Show because it allows Jim to be able to say less often.
Jolly Rangel.
Exactly.
Nope. Jolly Rangel in a swimsuit.
Ooh.
Now that's why we got to have a Rangel off, Jim.
That picture is something I cannot unsee.
That picture.
You cannot. There's not steel wool strong enough to scrub that out of your mind's
that
eye.
That picture would get a white Republican elected in Harlem.
All right.
Should have Denny Hastert in the bathing suit right next to
him. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
That one made me puke.
Okay.
Teddy asked her in a bathing. Would you be able to see the bathing suit?
No.
No.
All right. Kathleen Sebelius, Health and Human Service Secretary, about the health care debate.
Let's have an up or down vote that the American people deserve. A majority vote in the House and the Senate should move this issue forward.
Does she have
a
cold?
Down vote. That's a parliamentary trick. Don't fall for it.
Does she have a cold? Or did she start smoking?
I don't know.
Her voice sounded a little low in that.
She's fine. Come
okay.
on.
Okay. All right.
Representative Dennis Kucinich, our buddy, our pal from Ohio.
I don't know what there is for my constituents. And, you know, I voted against the bill. And I didn't, you know, I think that they need to show more before I can even consider to vote the other way.
Yeah, he's not. Oh, he's not planning on voting for it.
Nancy Pelosi has a. Well, she has a juggling act going on in the House.
You know, that's a liberal. I mean, folks, you know, stop confusing thinking Democrats and liberals are the same thing, like thinking conservatives and Republicans are the same thing. Fox News is not pro-conservative. They're pro-Republican.
No, there is some days I lose the will to live between seeing some Democrats and then Bart Stupak on the other side. I'm like, oh, we are never going to get anything done.
Well, but this is life.
Stupak yesterday.
We will not compromise that principle or belief. There are a number of us who will not go down there. We were just asking for the current law.
Yeah, he won't compromise his beliefs because it's wrong to kill people unless they're convicts or Iraqis.
Right.
You know, he's compromised plenty.
The problem is the language is already in the Senate bill. Like I said earlier, this is not something that's open to debate.
The language has been the law since 76.
The media is allowing him to misconstrue and to be essentially dishonest about what the Senate bill is. I mean, Nancy Pelosi said it. She couldn't have been more unequivocal. The Senate bill does not allow federal funding of abortions, period.
Yeah,
well, there's lots
healthcare
of opinions on that.
And now here's the other side.
Well, and the whole health care bill has been great to see who really is a big theatrical drama queen in Congress, because a lot of people just stand up and say things that aren't true so they can get the cameras on them and get votes back home.
No,
and Stupak knows it's not in the bill. He's trying to get votes from the right-wingers in Michigan.
Just the media just irritates us again. Jim, it's like you always say. It's like 2 + 2 = 4. And now on the other side, here's someone that thinks it means it's 5.
Here's an asshat who thinks it's 17.
What? No.
Points are equally valid.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. We have to leave it there.
Yes,
no!
You don't have to leave it.
A liberal media does not mean you support Democrats or even liberal causes. A liberal media means you're going to be tough as possible on everyone. And in a free society, you have to have a liberal media.
Exactly.
Representative, stupid.
In the present form, the Senate health care bill is going nowhere in the House of Representatives.
Good. So you want to be a Democrat that killed health care reform. Good. Okay.
Great.
Way
to be obstructionist there, pal.
Blue Dog Representative Dan Boren, where is he from?
Oklahoma.
They can break my arms. They can do whatever they want to. They'll never get my vote, ever. I mean, they'll have to walk across my dead body if they want my vote on this issue. This is so galvanizing in my district. I think the votes are not there, and I don't see where we get them.
They're called Blue Dogs because they're bitches, and we're just going to start calling them Blue Bitches from now on. Because he's a hoe for the health care industry.
Do you really want to be on the same side as the boner?
How many Democrats are going to side with a speaker over their constituents? And how many Democrats are willing to vote blind when the American people strongly oppose this bill and small business owners are terrified by it?
People who oppose it have been brainwashed by Fox News and people like John Boehner.
Exactly. And John Boehner giving health care advice is like Madonna giving marital advice on the marriage ref. You know, these people are bought and paid for 10 times over. Don't you want to be proud of where your tax dollars go? Don't you want some kids to have their dad's life saved because of health care that our tax dollars went to? Don't you want to be proud of where they go instead of just being tax cuts for millionaires and bombing brown people in third world countries overseas?
Yep.
This is a moral issue, and Obama hasn't brought the fight to them hard enough on the moral grounds yet.
47 minutes after the
preachy
hour.
Preachy, preachy, preachy.
Back with preachy Jesus lover. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Song's 25 years old this year. You know that?
Oh my God.
That's what all the kids are listening to.
25 years old this year.
We're so current. here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a great record.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are in the midst, of course, of John Fugelsang, Fridays with Fugelsang.
That song's like the end of like 70s disco and the beginning of 80s crap R&B. You know, it's a perfect moment in time, that song. I love it.
It wouldn't be Friday if he wasn't heckling me about my music.
I'm loving on your music, baby.
John,
loving on it.
Are you appearing anywhere or can we see you anywhere?
Yes, I'll be promoting this more next week, but I'm going to be appearing at Pace University with an event with the Left Forum, including me and the Yes Men. And I'll be talking more about that next week, but that's going to be on March 20th at Pace. And next Friday, I'll be giving you all the information on how to go see it. But
Sweet.
That's going to be the 20th in New York City. And then my website's up, and I'm just trying to get this book finished.
Is it johnfugelsang.com?
JohnFugelsang.com. You have to be able to spell Fugelsang to find it, so there's a little bit of work involved.
We have a link to it right up front and center on StephanieMiller.com.
With his handsome mug. By the way,
John
Fugelsang.
You'll be happy to know.
John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks and I have some magical secret three-way news coming up shortly that we can't tell you about
coming
yet.
Coming up very soon, some magical three-way news.
Wait a minute. I don't even know about this. Hold on.
And not like the bad, toxic Charlie Sheen three-way kind of news either. I mean,
the good kind of three-way.
Charlie Sheen's really given drugged-up, marital three-way sex with crack hookers a bad name. We're going
to
take it back.
It used to be so wholesome.
Like teabagging.
Is this something that I should know about so I can produce for it?
No.
What?
You don't need to know.
All right. Fine.
You don't need to know, but it's good news for people who like Fugelsang, Miller, and Sparks, or two-thirds of us.
All right.
Yes, because they're all going to go with me.
By the way, could you take your organ out for me again, Chris? You know, because you've been talking a lot about religion today, John, and
I've been responding to kooks, okay? It's a difference.
About what pro-life actually means. Rick Perry, oh, by the way, let's hear it for secessionists. He won his, how about that?
Mm.
He beat the senior senator, the senior Kate Bailey.
Who's king of right-wing world?
He's Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
She's a senior citizen, senior senator.
Drinking with the stars.
Rick Perry, he was at the Prestonwood Baptist Church. They held a Friends for Life fundraiser, and the guest of honor, former President Bush.
Which
Governor
one?
Perry praised all the lives that Bush protected while in office.
Who, George Bush Sr. or Junior?
Junior.
That's interesting, because abortions went up every year while Bush was in office, but went down every year while Clinton was in office. Hmm. Tell me more.
He said there's no way to tell how many lives were protected by your fearless pro-life effort.
Actually, there is a way to tell. Yeah.
Actually, the Bush family has never been pro-life. George Bush Sr. became pro-life the day Reagan asked him to be his running mate, but ran on a pro-choice platform for president in 1980.
He recently received another pro-life award from a Catholic organization. The announcement attracted criticism at the time, with groups and individuals saying Bush shouldn't be considered pro-life because of his record on preemptive war, torture, reckless disregard for the environment and economic policies.
Oh, that.
Let's take it one
Stop
step further.
Jesus talked about.
Every
Stop
single
nitpicking.
Year, the right every single year, the Right to Life Party had their big convention in Washington D.C. George W. Bush, as president, never once showed up at it. He never once sent a video, but every year he sent an audio-taped greeting thanking them for their work, because the Bush family does not really oppose abortion. And by the way...
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you call yourself pro-life, that means that you're against the death penalty, means you're against war, you're against euthanasia, you're against unmanned drone bombs, okay?
Right.
If you're just for abortion, you're pro some life. And the Catholics are the ones who taught me that you were born with original sin. So make up your mind. Either you're a bad fetus or a good fetus.
Are you a good fetus or a bad fetus?
I'm telling you, man, Catholic Church is as against the death penalty as they are against abortion.
That's right.
In other Bible-y news, a nonprofit organization committed to emphasizing Christians' biblical responsibility to support Israel reportedly violated federal law by soliciting funds for that crazy Michelle Bachmann.
Oh!
We have to support Israel so God can destroy it in the apocalypse.
Right. There's only one way to support Israel, I think you know. Blowing up Iran.
My Hebrew friends, the only reasons these evangelicals are backing up Israel is because the rapture heads believe it has to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Before they can go to heaven and everyone
else
burns them like a fire.
So if Texas secedes, does that mean they just take NASA and tobacco?
Oh, by the way, I got to get to this before we leave. So Michael Steele, did you see this? So this RNC memo that insulted the donors and had like the pictures of the president as the Joker. And he defended saying it was stuff that was pulled off the web.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I defend my porn collection.
Yeah, yeah, you can pull anything off the web. Yeah, Politico recently obtained that RNC PowerPoint presentation.
Pete Townsend should have used that defense.
Yeah.
Seal said it was unfortunate.
I just pulled it off the web.
It was, you know, those are images that were pulled off the internet. They've been out in the public domain for a while. It was stuff pulled off the web that was inserted.
That's nothing. Look over there.
Oh, Michael Steele. He's just as ignorant about the internet as he is about black culture. It's funny.
He really is a bumbling idiot, isn't he? This is getting really funny.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, too. I've met him. It's just so sad. But let's be grateful to Michael, because he's never has the GOP raised less money than under this guy.
I know. Oh, I know. I keep everything. Every time he screws up, I'm like, oh, no, don't fire him.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And again, I've said it before, but he's only in the Republican Party because the Klan won't have him.
All right. Speaking of which, explaining the alarming rise in extremist group activity in 2009, we talked about this the other day, the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about we don't even need evidence to know that there's been a huge increase in hate crime and in violent right-wing groups. They pin a lot of the blame on people like Lou Dobbs, Glenn Beck, Michelle Bachmann, mm-hmm. Sarah Palin. Dobbs hit back.
Uh-oh.
They said Dobbs incurred fears about a supposed Mexican plot to take over the southwestern U.S., which he did say quite
yes,
a bit.
He did.
Right, after we stole it from them and didn't get it back to the Indians.
Dobbs scoffed at the report. He said it's sad that they insist upon maintaining the paranoia. I hope they recover from that.
That's great. Meanwhile, Lou Dobbs' TV career remains undocumented.
Yes.
That's it for us. We'll see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What's that? Yeah.